Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Valentine's Day is not, a real day. And I'm going to call it Valentine's Day. Yes, I'm going to call it that because it's not a real day anyway. Yo, what's going on, family? My name is Joseph Solomon. I am the host of a new and up and coming podcast called Flights and Feelings. Welcome to season one, where we thoughtfully and vulnerably travel through faith, relationships, sexuality, science, health, and culture. Each episode takes you on a short flight at varying altitudes of storytelling, guest conversations, some travel tips, and a little practical wisdom to land home with. Because this podcast has been doing so well right out of the gate, we're only about a month into this thing, I thought it would be a good idea to add a second weekly episode that is different and a little less prepared than the first one. So we decided to call this portion of the podcast The Layover. Ironically, that was going to be the name of the original name of the podcast, but we decided Flights and Feelings was just better overall. But a longtime fan by the name of Latrice reminded me of this name, and she suggested it on Twitter, and so now we have Layover, so shout out to her. If you haven't been able to tell by this podcast yet, I travel a lot, like a lot. I've been chilling for the last couple of months, though. Been on a little break. I took my first flight of 2020 just a couple of days ago. But oftentimes, I travel by myself. But then there's other times that I travel around with some great friends. And in between flights, we may have a long layover. And in that time, we have some great conversations about life, love, faith, family, random stuff, serious stuff, silly stuff, goofing around, whatever it may be. So that's what this layover will be. I've asked followers of the podcast to send in a voice recorded question, and I'm going to answer them. And it just so happens to be Valentine's Day today, so some of the questions naturally are surrounding that topic. So here we go. Oh, and Happy Valentine's Day or whatever. Yeah. All right, let's get into it.
Hi, my name's Jessica and I'm from Arizona. I just had a question about Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Is that actually something like you get sad about, like that you don't have somebody on Valentine's Day? Because, I mean, I'm 31 and I became a Christian when I was 21.
Okay.
And I've never had like a boyfriend or like a serious relationship. And so Valentine's Day, I like know it exists, but to me, it's like something I celebrated in like middle school. Just wondering, is that something that like you like, or people in general, like really get sad about, you know, just wondering.
Yeah, you're right. Jessica from Arizona, was it? Valentine's Day is not a real day. And I'm going to call it Valentine's Day. Yes, I'm going to call it that because it's not a real day anyway. And I know that's going to trigger a lot of people. It's Valentine's Day. It's with an N. It's Valentine's. Today is Valentine's. But you know why? Because it's not a real day. You're right. It is. It's a middle school holiday. It's like celebrating recess. You know, what I look like, you know, 30 years old, talking to some, oh yeah, man, let's go finish our food, our lunch real fast so we can go and play Foursquare. Because recess, we only have 30 minutes for it's a middle school holiday. It's not real. It's like Columbus Day. That's not real either. All right, let's just go ahead and lump in Columbus Day, Valentine's Day, and recess all in the same category, right? Thank you for pointing that out. And no, I really don't get sad about Valentine's Day. I feel awkward when I ask my married friends, like, hey, yo, what you on Friday night? What we doing, man? Oh, yeah, man, the wifey, we got something planned. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go out of town for a little bit. Oh, yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah, no. Right. It's Valentine's Day. Yeah, Valentine's Day. Yeah, no. I knew that.
Hi, my name is Ingrid from Brooklyn, New York. And my question is, if you could describe your love life with a song title, what would it be? Thank you.
Okay. So Ingrid just knew she was going to make it to the podcast by playing my song in the background, which happens to be titled Gold, and it is available on all streaming platforms and for purchase anywhere you buy music. It's titled Gold by Joseph Solomon for Native North Records. This is not a commercial at all. Ingrid, what song title would I use to describe my love life? The song doesn't exist. Because my love life doesn't. So, yeah. If I could title it... honestly, that's probably pretty easy. It's another one of my own songs because I'm single. So, definitely Party for One by Joseph Solomon, which is also available on all streaming platforms. But, yeah, Party for One. Turn your head receipts off. Ooh, it's better if I didn't know you so.
Hello, Joe. I hope you're doing well.
What's going on?
My name is Sion, and I'm from Chicago. I did write this out, so I'm just going to read out what I had written.
Yeah, that's fine.
I guess you hear this a lot, but I do want to start off by saying that you have helped me grow as a person. I appreciate all you do, so thank you.
Absolutely.
My question is specifically about episode 3. Depression is weird for me. Because I grew up going to an Ethiopian church and being surrounded by Ethiopian people. But I also grew up in Chicago, so I got to experience two cultures. I can say that from the Ethiopian side, not a single person has ever talked about depression.
Mm.
I don't even think there's a word for depression in my culture.
Wow.
Which makes me think, do we not suffer from depression? I'm sure that's not the case, though. Usually, my folks just try to pray it off when someone feels some type of depression. And I'm not taking prayer lightly. Sometimes it feels like we can pray and take other steps to improve.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great, great question, actually. And I think I was actually reading a book recently, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. I forget how to pronounce the author's name at the moment, but, and I wrote down a note from it too, and I've been looking all over for it I literally typed that little factoid down somewhere and I can't find it because I would love to recall that for this moment. But he actually talks about how in more traditional, communal and even, Eastern cultures, depression is much less common. Depression and anxiety, as we define it, is much less common. And I think for probably two reasons, as you said, maybe some are experiencing it and the culture just has a suppression of it in general. Like they don't see it as a thing. There's not a word for it. I actually went through that same sort of experience talking to someone out in, I want to say it was in Malawi. We were talking about depression and how there's not a word for it in their language. It was either in Malawi or maybe it was one of the South African languages. My mind's blanking right now. But either way, I was in Africa, southern part of Africa, a couple months ago. And I was having that conversation with an African like, yeah, that's not even a word in our language. So it's not a surprise to me that you would say also in Ethiopia, there's not a language for it as well. A word for it. And so I think part of it is, yeah, culturally, there may be some pushback against it. I think also, though, it could be genuinely that other cultures are experiencing depression much less often or much less severely than cultures like ours here in America. And here's why. And this is one of the reasons that the author of 21 Lessons for the 21st Century, he kind of pokes at as well, is that we're constantly on this chase for happiness. And we've actually realized that, as the God has already sort of pointed out a long, long time ago, as we keep advancing in technology and material wealth and so forth, and we're finding ways, people around the world, as much as we see, you know, famine and disease and death around the world, we hear these stories about how there's these very poor countries and so forth. The reality is, even though there are still some of those extremes, in general, the world is getting healthier from a statistical, just sort of observable standpoint. They're getting healthier. Child death, infant death, all those kind of things are dropping. A lot of these things that would cause suffering, as much suffering as there is in the world, I'm not trying to downplay that. The reality is, compared to 100 years ago or whatever, even 20 years ago, it has dropped in a very measurable way. And yet, people are becoming much more dissatisfied with life. And so that's also a point that I had to think through, even in my own depression, as what is actually causing this? Could it be the expectations that have been put on to me about this life? I can go on. Ooh, this is a really good question. Maybe I have to do a separate podcast for this, because it's such a great question. Because a lot of the things that are causing us to feel this way, especially like when you think about teenage suicide and stuff like that, oftentimes those things are induced by what kids are seeing on social media, this whole comparison thing, the bullying that's happening on social media. A lot of these things are sort of modern problems that are not caused by suffering, you know what I'm saying, in a very physical sense per se. A lot of it is a psychological and even spiritual warfare. The more things that we are consuming, the less satisfied we become. And we think that the more, if I get another car, if I get another house, if I get this wife, if I get this husband, if I get these things, I will become happier. But there is a threshold that you cross. Yeah, there is a threshold of happiness. So starvation, you know, not having food and not having healthcare, those are like things that can really cause a heavy mental sort of struggle, right? But once we sort of cross over that threshold of having our basic needs met, happiness becomes a very tricky thing, because we think it's going to come from, gaining or consuming things, and we're actually becoming less satisfied, which is why it's no surprise when you hear about, we often get surprised, like, man, this rich, famous celebrity committed suicide. They had everything they need. Why would they commit? Were they ungrateful? And even that accusation of them calling them ungrateful is perpetuating the idea that we think that if you get enough stuff, there's no reason why you should be unhappy. Bro, you're a multimillionaire. Why are you sad? Bro, you're famous. You can get anything you want. You own a jet. Why are you depressed and anxious? Why are you worried about tomorrow? That perpetuates the false idea that consuming things will somehow make you happy. And again, Malawi was a really great example of that, because Malawi, typically, when you look at the world's poorest countries, Malawi always finds itself somewhere like in the top three, top five, or whatever, at least top 10 poorest countries in the world. And yet their nickname is the warm heart of Africa. And when I went there, Marumbo, he told me, he said, man, these are some of the poorest people in the world, but Malawi people are the happiest people you will find. And yet they don't have all the things that we have here in America. At least a lot of them don't. Some of them do. A lot of them don't have the things that we have. And so why are they happier than us? So I think it's a really great, it is a very cultural thing. I'll have to, when I do an episode on this, I will go pull up the actual facts of this, because I've read this in many different ways and from different articles, and particularly that book as well that highlighted it to me. There's a difference in culture. It's a great question. And maybe I'll leave it a little open-ended so we can have a conversation about that later.
Yo, what's up, Joe?
Yo,
my name is Xander. You might remember me from Southeastern. Mm-hmm. I'm the dude that offered you a ride in the go-kart.
Yep, I remember.
invite's still open.
Okay.
But recently you shared with us all that you found joy. First of all, super happy for you, and I'm sure everybody else is as well.
Thank you.
My question for you is, what was it like when you finally found joy to be abundant in your life?
Wow. Yeah, I think it might have been a gradual thing. It's not like one day I just woke up and was like, I think I'm joyful. It was a sort of gradual realization and a very intentional pursuit of having it as well. Like once I knew it was possible to have it, to actually, not to say that I didn't know joy was possible, I just think I didn't know how possible it was to sort of respond rather than react to life. I didn't understand just how practical that can be, in pausing and slowing down to, like I mentioned in the other podcast, to take control of your thoughts, man. The Bible says take every thought captive. We take every thought captive to Christ. And so sometimes we don't take thoughts captive. We allow those thoughts to roam free in our brain. Thoughts that are not from God, thoughts that are against who God says you are and who he says he is. And we just let that thing run around. And he says, take that thought captive, put that mug in a prison and watch over it. don't let it run around and do whatever it wants. And so when I started practicing that more, it was really helpful, and it just kind of became a thing. And I started realizing more and more. I think the probably defining point was probably PIA tour, because the PIA tour before, when I was actually performing Depression Is, I was extremely, I know I had a lot of comments about, not a lot, but some comments from fans or whatever. Like, you know, I just got really burnt out by people. I'm already naturally a snarky person anyway, even when I'm in a good mood. So don't take my sarcasm, please, y'all. Don't take my sarcasm when I do it on IG story or whatever. Don't take it as like me being in a bad mood. So this is just my sense of humor. I'm sorry. But on that tour, I was like, people are kind of upset that I don't feel like talking very long. And I was like, yo, I'm literally doing a poem about how this year, this summer, I felt like not living. So that was what I used to compare to 2019 tour for Poets in Autumn, and how much more energy I had to give to people. I still got tired, just in general, it comes with the territory, but I had so much more capacity. I prayed throughout the summer that I would have the capacity to love people well, despite how tired I am. And I'm not saying I did that perfectly, but I could see, and others could see around me, even when there still were, you know, complaints or whatever, the people closest to me who can see me, they see the growth. And I think that's huge as well, in monitoring your own growth as a person. There are going to be people who cannot see your growth. They're too far away to really notice how much you're growing. And that's okay. You know you're growing. And then the people that are closest to you that really know you, they'll speak up and they'll say, man, I've noticed the change. And I definitely got that from the people who are closest to me. And that's what mattered most, that they saw that joy becoming an overflow.
Hey, Joe, this is Jeff.
What up,
Fresno,
Jeff?
California.
Cali, what's good?
Have you ever been told by someone well-intentioned saying that, hey, why are you single? You can marry anyone as long as they're a Christian. Just pick someone. And how'd you respond to that?
Are they Christian? Do they have a pulse? We talked about that in the episode with Ezekiel. I even mentioned it in the singles poem that I did. That is a very normal thing. People are just like, yo, just pick someone. And I fell to that for a while. Like, yeah, you know what, they're right, man. Like, the gospel covers everything, bro. And like, man, just, yeah, die like Jesus and be humble. Or just, yeah, Jesus didn't have, I'm sure we didn't meet his preferences. So like, just run it. And that's where that whole, like, that correlation sort of breaks down. Like, some people may, feel some kind of way that I say this, but yes, we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And that's a great example that Paul gives to us. But that always breaks down at some point, though. Like, we're never literally Jesus, and your wife is never literally the global church, the eternal church, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, she's Jordan, and you're Jonathan or whatever, right? Like, that's the reality. And so I'm not the one to give the best marriage advice or who to marry. Obviously, I haven't done it. I've just learned from mistakes. So my thing is, you have to own that decision, bro. I had a group of brothers who were pressing me to, I was with a woman a few years ago, and they were like, man, just do it. I'm like, man, but we don't get along. And I don't want to give too much details, but it was just like, we don't get along. And it's just like, I don't like her, bro. And, you know, their sort of advice was like, well, sometimes I don't like my wife either, but I love her. I was like, yeah, but that's your wife, bro. You're already married, man. And you liked her when you got married. So you're trying to tell me that? I said, bro, I feel like I'd be walking down the aisle with a shotgun to my back if I do this. And so we broke up. And then when we broke up, one of the guys who were pressing me to do that was like, man, I'm glad you decided to make that decision, man. It was a good call. I'm like, what, bro? So that's when I learned that good counsel is great. Always seek good wisdom from your dudes. And if you're a woman, seek wisdom from, you know, men and women as well. But at the end of the day, you got to own that joint, because they ain't got to go home with that person, fam. They don't have to. This is the rest of your life, dog. That's the goal. Rest of your life. So all that, just choose somebody. Yeah, just choose somebody. But whoever you choose, you got to live with that. You, not them. You. So I'm glad that I didn't listen.
Hi, my name is Patso, and I'm from Malawi.
Malawi.
Love the podcast.
Hey.
I wanted to ask, how can Christian singles handle the feeling of loneliness during Valentine's season?
Malawi, stand up. We was just, isn't that ironic? I was just grabbing clips, and I didn't realize I was talking about Malawi, and didn't realize that somebody from Malawi had sent something in. So y'all on a totally different time zone, you got this joint in. So I appreciate that, Patso. By the way, Malawi is beautiful. Love it. Can't wait to go back to that joint. Great people, and hopefully we'll have a really good time the next time I come out. How do you handle the loneliness of singleness in Valentine's Day season? I don't know. To me, again, like I said earlier, Valentine's Day is almost like any other day of the year when it comes to being single. And I just, you master it the same way that you need to master it any other day. Because Valentine's Day, if you think Valentine's Day is rough, just wait till you get invited to a wedding. I performed a poem at a Valentine's Day wedding one time, and that was awkward. And so if you can't, yeah, you just got to. There's so much to talk about that. I hate talking about singleness, ironically, but I get so many questions about it. I feel like people are coming to me as the guru of of singleness now. And I don't know if I like that. I don't know. I don't know if I like that or not. I don't want to be the guru. I don't want to be the go-to guy. Don't invite me to your singles conferences. I'm gonna keep saying that. Please don't invite me to speak at a singles conference. I've done my share of them, and I feel like I did my work. I put my time in, and I'm good. If I never go to another singles or purity event, I think I'll be good. I'll be good on having that conversation. Yeah, you just gotta. That's just an overall conversation. Listen to my poem on singleness on YouTube called The Singles, and maybe that'll help.
My name is Miguel Zatarant, and I'm from Tyler, Texas.
Tyler, I went to school out there.
I do consider myself an overthinker, and I just wanted to ask you, man, how do you control your thoughts?
Yeah, we're all overthinkers, man. In some way, your brain does not shut off. We think our brain shuts down when we go to sleep, but studies show that your brain is literally just as active. There's like a dip moment, like as you're falling asleep for like a moment, it becomes less active, and then it wakes up like same amount of activity as if you were walking around, you know, taking a test or something like that. Your brain is just as active. And so it's not so much about trying to do less thinking. Your brain will always be thinking. I think when we overthinking, what we're trying to articulate is that we're not doing the right kind of thinking. We're allowing our brains to just run around. I've been touching on this for a while now. And so that's what I've learned. Like, it, you're never going to stop your brain from thinking about something. Even when I've talked about doing meditation and mindfulness, your brain is always working, always trying to do something, which is really dope. You just have to, this is a practice. This is a daily thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a practice of becoming mindful of what your thoughts are doing. So that's why I say doing it in the morning sort of sets up a habit for the rest of the day. As I sit, becoming mindful, trying to train the brain to, once you see a thought come, you know, you don't go chasing it down the street like, oh, what is it? You're just like, oh, that thought came. Okay. And let it go and then come back to your breathing. I'll do some more talking about that in another episode, but it really is a practicing of noticing your thoughts, taking note of what's happening in your brain, and then moving on, you know, and being intentional about what you're thinking, and being aware when your mind wanders off, because it will wander off. Our brains just are like a toddler in a toy store, man, in Walmart or something. They just run around, and that's fine. Let them do a little bit of, you got to let them move a little bit, but then like, okay, all right, come on back in. So yeah, that it's just becoming mindful of the thinking you're doing, as opposed to trying to stop yourself from overthinking. All right, last question. Here we go.
Hey, Joseph. My name is Ariel from Washington. What do you hope your life looks like in December 2020? Financially, emotionally, romantically, spiritually? Really been loving your podcast, and I hope you keep it up.
Wow. December 2020. Yeah, I hope it looks like platinum, dog. Like, I'm going to make another song called Platinum. Last year was gold. Now I'm platinum, dog. I'm just going to keep going up in the elements. seriously, though, just, I'm really excited to see where this growth takes me. I felt stagnant for a long time. Felt like I was forcing out a lot of what I was doing. And now everything that I'm doing feels much less forced. It feels organic, feels natural. I'm really interested to see what the Lord does with this sort of openness and vulnerability and, yeah, willing to grow and change and help others. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. Financially, I've been debt free for a while. I'm about to close on a house in about 2 weeks. So financially, I'm trying to see what that looks like. Now having a mortgage and other expenses, and still being okay. So, you know, making some investments and stuff like that. Like, I'm just trying to slowly, it's a progress, man. I ain't trying to be on no quick come ups, but I really am looking forward to seeing, you know, it's hard to plan out. I tell people all the time, I used to be asked like, what's your 5-year plan, whatever. I'm like, man, I barely have a 5-month plan. And what has worked for me so far is like, take each day for what it is and focus on whatever is presented for you today. Kill that, like, kill today, like, do it. Whatever you can be doing right now, do it today. And then the opportunities will come, you know, the Lord will bring whatever he brings, you know. But a lot of times, a lot of the failures that have come from me, if you want to call it that, it's just been failure to do something. It's failure to take advantage of a moment rather than like trying. So I'd rather just try. None of my stuff has been failures in the sense of like, everything that I look back on now and realize that it didn't like work out in the way I thought it would work out, it's come back useful for me somewhere down the road. You know, it's helped me down the road, even if it was just, you know, becoming wiser. So that doesn't come unless you do something. Like, you have to get up and stay moving. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is seeing what the Lord just does with like, all right, I've got the joy. I've got the abundance to put out content now. And I want to see what happens with that. I don't know. I don't know. But I would love to see y'all on the journey with that and update y'all on that. So thank you for asking that. All right, well, that wraps it up for that layover. Got to go catch this flight, a.k.a. set up for this next flight that's coming out. I think I might move the podcast to Tuesdays. It just makes it a little easier. Sunday, I'm always doing stuff kind of last minute, and Sunday is a great fellowship day for me with friends, and I feel like the podcast makes me have to decide which one I'm going to do, and so I think I'd rather just use Monday to, like, knock out whatever editing I'm going to do. Put it out Tuesday morning. Hopefully that doesn't mess up y'all routine too much. That some of y'all have already gravitated to Monday. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna start my week off with this, and I appreciate it, but I think just for my own personal life, it might be better for me to do it on Tuesday mornings. We'll see how the response is for this layover, and if it's cool, we'll do it again next Friday. I have a lot of questions that came in that I didn't get to respond to, some really great ones that I'll try to incorporate later. But if you want to throw your question in there, you can send an email to hello@flightsandfeelings.com. Send it as a voice memo. A voice memo. Some people were texting and typing out their question. Voice memo. Email it as a voice memo. Please put your name, just your first name and where you're from, in the voice memo. And what helps me as well to organize everything in the email, just type out what your question is about, and that'll help me stay more organized. But anyways, love y'all so much. You could be going anywhere in the world with anybody else, but you're right here. So thank you for listening to the Flights and Feelings podcast. And remember to always fly home.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.